Hello and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here, the Eric Erickson Show across the nation. Welcome to the folks in Oklahoma, Ohio, and Florida listening. Delighted to have you with me. Really am. Nice to be growing the show and announcing some new stations. KRMG in Tulsa, Oklahoma, WHIO in Dayton, Ohio, WOKV in Jacksonville, Florida, WDBO in Orlando, Florida. Welcome. You can find me on social media at EW Erickson. You can go to EWErickson.com. Every day. You can also text the word data to 33777. I'll send you back a link to my daily email that I send out. You can subscribe. You can get some of the latest stuff I've done. Text data to 33777. We'll get into recipes here in a little bit. Now, I gotta say something on a personal note to get started. Last week, participated in raising money for Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, the Aflac Cancer and Blood Disorder Center. It's at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. They help kids, right? This past year in 43 states were directly helped. In all the states of the union and around the world, kids have been helped indirectly through their research. They're the number one children oncology research facility in the nation, number one research facility for sickle cell. And they do fantastic work. A lot of what they do is donor-driven, and over $1.7 million was raised. A good chunk of money came from the Jim Ellis Automotive Group in Atlanta, Georgia. And on Friday, on Thursday evening, I bought a brand new car from them. And they were just wonderful. Their Mall of Georgia facility for GMC, I got a brand new Yukon Denali, drove it off the lot, and me driving it off the lot. It rolled over to like 10 miles getting it off the lot. That gives you an idea of how new it was. The crazy, insane part of this, though, is that I traded in a 2019 Yukon, and the value of that car was insane. It should not have been as high as it was. And they were telling me they hope to resell it here very, very quickly. In fact, the brand new Denali that I bought, they said it's probably going to be one of the last ones, if not the last one, they sell this year because of the chip shortage. The microchip shortage is delaying new cars being able to be sent to dealers. And so used cars are a hot market. It's exploded, and the value of a used car has gone up so much. And so I put this out on Twitter, and a buddy of mine told me that he actually bought a car very recently and was able to turn around and take it back and get $5,000 extra for it. And I thought he was joking. He's got the receipts. It's nuts. The used car market is insane out there. So we've got a daughter who will be turning 16 in a couple of weeks. And obviously we're getting to the point where we're going to need another car in the Erickson household. And I've been looking, and man, used car prices, you're almost like, I don't want to buy my kid a new car. But at the same time, the used car prices are so overlap. It's nuts. I don't want to buy my kid a new car. But the used car prices are insane. I mean, in some cases, you can get a new model for less than the used car price. And it makes no freaking sense at all, the whole thing. But in any of it, Jim Ellis in Atlanta, car buying can be a terrible thing, and they made it pleasant, and they're good people. So thank you to them. Now, I need to talk about masks, and I didn't want to talk about masks today. I don't want to talk about masks because I think I've said everything I can say, except I haven't. Around the country, schools are saying that as you go back this week or next week or the week after, or when your school goes back, kids are going to have to wear masks. There will be mask mandates. Cities around the country are deploying mask mandates. The mayor of Washington, D.C. imposed a mask mandate in Washington, D.C., and then went to the Adams Morgan area and participated in a wedding with about 700 people, none of whom were masked. On CNN, they tried to explain it all away for her and give her cover. Y'all, we don't need to wear masks. The governors of Texas and Florida have prohibited cities from imposing mask mandates. I wish the governor of Georgia would do the same thing. Georgia law, I am led to believe, complicates that fact. If nothing else, when the state legislature gets together to do redistricting, perhaps they should pass a law prohibiting municipal and countywide mask mandates in Georgia. It is a disincentive for people to get vaccinated if they are told they've got to mask up. It makes no sense. Ron DeSantis is coming under all sorts of fire for banning mask mandates and saying there will be no statewide mask mandate in Florida. There will be no statewide mask mandate. And so CNN had on Ron DeSantis's Democratic challenger, Nikki Fried, currently the ag commissioner, and CNN was quite disheartened by her agreeing with Ron DeSantis.
Let me ask you this. So again, would you favor a statewide mask mandate for schools?
You know, I had last year had talked about mandating mask mandates and making sure that everybody was moving forward together. And right now, that's really important. Every county needs to make their own decisions.
Okay, so no statewide mask mandate,
but I certainly would want every school board to have the power to make what's right decisions for their own communities.
Yeah, so they're a little bit upset. She doesn't want a statewide mask mandate. Now, DeSantis is saying no masks in schools. And the school boards are upset. Well, I'm sorry to the school boards, but there is no data out there that suggests the mask mandates are worthwhile. There's just not. And yet they continue to want to impose it. Now, these are the same people who also believe that boys can become girls, and if you're a white person, you are inherently an oppressor. You know, facts do matter, but forgive me for not backing up a lot of school boards who are freaking out about this stuff when these same school boards are doing diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that are teaching white kids that by virtue of being white, they are inherently oppressors. And by the way, wear your mask. They're just getting them warmed up so they can make sure their masks also come with hoods. I mean, you got to indoctrinate the white kids and make sure they know just how bad they are. They're the second coming of the KKK, according to critical theory. Nobody needs to be in a mask if they're vaccinated. And you know, in New York now, the governor of New York wants businesses to tell people, if you're unvaccinated, don't come shop here. You know what happens if the unvaccinated are all congregated together in the stores that allow them? Guess what? The virus spreads even quicker. It's anti-science. The science at this point shows a lot of things. The science shows the vaccines work. The science shows most Americans are getting the vaccine. The science shows that people aren't using the masks in the way that masks should be used, and they're not going to. The science shows that the masks, as a result, are not an effective strategy to combat the virus. And in fact, the most recent data shows that the masks help people to lower their sense of safety and regard, and therefore make it more likely they're going to get the virus. So I think if you're a Republican, you need to fight on this. And by the way, the people who are most likely to wear a mask are the people who already got the vaccine. Think about that for a minute. Now, follow along with me here on the mask stuff. Here is what the research has shown. If you wear a mask and someone who is contagious with COVID does not wear a mask, the mask does you very little good. If someone who has COVID wears a mask and you wear no mask, the mask doesn't do a lot of good, but does do a little more good than if you wear the mask and the infected person doesn't. The only way that masking truly works, and it only then works at the margins, but when you're talking about a case, a virus that could overwhelm hospital, you still want to improve the margins. But where it works is when the infected person and everyone else wears a mask. It's not a failsafe. People will still get the virus. The virus will still spread. It just spreads less easily if every single person wears a mask. The problem, as you all know, though, is that most people, when they wear a mask, they have it below their nose and they're going to get it. Or they get particulate in their eye and they're going to get it, unless you're going to wear a face shield. I saw Lloyd Austin, the Secretary of the Defense, went overseas somewhere and met with a bunch of people, and he came off wearing a mask and a face shield. He looked ridiculous. It's time to get over the masks, particularly if you're vaccinated. People are going to respect fewer and fewer laws. And as more and more ninnies and nannies of the bully state decide to force people into masks, people are going to build up even further resentment to doing anything responsible. There's a segment of our population that's not going to get vaccinated. They have concerns, or they think it's no big deal, or they think, let other people get vaccinated and I'll be okay. Or, you know, there's a growing body of people who say, I've already had the virus, and they told us, if you've had the virus, you've got natural immunity now, so why do you need the vaccine? Fair point. So let them take their chances. You're still 99 to 98% going to be fine. But the idea of putting masks in classrooms and forcing kids to go back into the school year this way is absurd. It is genuinely stupid. And shame on them for doing this. They shouldn't do it. You shouldn't do it. You don't need to comply if you've been vaccinated. I'm not going to encourage people to break the law, but if they're not enforcing it, I mean, I was talking to a police officer in Atlanta the other day who, I can't use the words he used because there were a lot of F words in there, but it was ridiculous. I think Republicans need to fight the mask mandates now. I think it's a winning issue, particularly in schools and in the suburbs, as people have done everything they need to do to get themselves vaccinated, get them out of masks. Just 3 weeks ago, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention told people, if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. Dr. Fauci himself, St. Anthony of Fauci, said the same damn thing. And then the CDC freaked out about data. It didn't want to release the data. And now that it's released the data that caused it to freak out, we know it was a pride event in Provincetown, Massachusetts, where you had a bunch of horny dudes with each other and in closed quarters kissing each other, spreading the virus. That's where their cohort came from. That's why it was 85% male. That's what got them to freak out. There's no reason to freak out about it. Do you know why? Because no data from other states corroborates what happened in Provincetown, Massachusetts. And do you know why? Because none of the other states looked at an 85% male population going to Bear Week in Province, Massachusetts, where they were going into bars clustered together, kissing each other, and doing God knows what else. And yet that's the data that caused the CDC to freak out. When we get done with this, when we get done with COVID, we need to have a real examination of our institutions. The FBI continues to screw up, and the CDC continues to screw up. And Americans cannot trust the institutions that continue to screw up like that. They just can't. You cannot trust institutions that are routinely freaking out, and then you realize that what they're freaking out over is a bunch of BS. But that's where we are right now. That's where we are. And it does a discredit to both institutions to see the leadership of those institutions behaving in the way they are. Can I just say, my wife is finally happy with me as a radio show host and podcaster. She loves Boll & Branch. Now, I had Boll & Branch towels already at my house, but they sent me a set of their king-size sheets to try, and my wife's been dying to get sheets from Boll & Branch, and we got them now, and they hold up. They are great. Boll & Branch was started by a husband and wife team that wanted to create a textile company that cared about the details that would make their products last. You'll feel the difference. You really will feel the difference with them. My goodness. We had sheets on our bed, and they were cotton sheets, but we just sweated. The Boll & Branch sheets during the summer are fantastic. Now, they've got uncompromising standards. We've got a very thick mattress, and their deep-pocketed sheets hold up. They're not snapping the elastic fitted sheet. They're not snapping off the mattress. They work. I cannot express to you enough how excited I was to get these. My wife adores them. In fact, we had to go get a second set of Boll & Branch sheets so that we could keep them on the bed at all times. They're cloud weight. They're super soft. They've got a satin weave. They get softer with every wash. They really do, by the way. That's not marketing. That's actually real. They get softer with every wash. They're crafted to the highest standard of attention. And again, you know, if you've got a deep pocketed mattress like we do, we've got a 15-inch mattress. Those fitted sheets will snap off. Not these. They perform fantastic. To experience the new standard of conference, you got to visit bowlandbranch.com. You get 15% off your first set of sheets with promo code ERIC, E-R-I-C-K. That's bowl, B-O-L-L, and branch.com. The promo code is ERIC, E-R-I-C-K. You will love Bowl and Branch. We really do. My wife, finally, she's so excited. An advertiser sent us something that she actually wanted. She wanted it so much, and now we've gone back for a second time and bought a pair of sheets. I've got towels I bought from them. Everything from Bowl and Branch is fantastic. You'll love them. This hour of the program brought to you by First Liberty Building and Loan. Wherever you are in the United States of America, First Liberty can help your business grow. You need a loan, a big loan. We're talking six figures or more. They don't deal in small stuff. Go to FirstLibertyGA.com. FirstLibertyGA.com. Spend 10 minutes with them. See if you're fit for them. Or maybe you're not. But you might just be. They want to help you get to yes where banks are saying no. FirstLibertyGA.com is their website. A seven-year-old's lemonade stand has been shut down in Seattle. This is just one of those frustrating things. I'm sorry, it's Everett, Washington. A park ranger shut down a seven-year-old girl's lemonade stand in Everett, Washington. It's become a tradition for Elsa LeMaine to operate her lemonade stand at Rucker Hill Park. She even gives a portion of her profits to a local nonprofit, the Everett Gospel Mission. But the park ranger shut it down. She didn't have all the proper permitting and the like for the lemonade stand. The homeless have built an encampment in the park. They have no permit to be there. And, of course, the Everett, Washington police and park rangers are letting the homeless encampment, even though the residents of the area are complaining about it. Even though they're going to leave that. But seven-year-old Elsa Main, who has been doing this since she was 5 years old, they've shut her down. I hope that will radicalize her to become a Republican instead of being in the godforsaken place of Washington. I have a hard time with this one. My head explodes when they shut down a kid's. You know, you do have some discretion in the law. You don't have to shut down the seven-year-old's lemonade stand. I wonder, somebody just sent me an email a few minutes ago saying, do you think that all these kids who are forced to go through this nonsense with the masks are going to become Republicans? I hope so. I hope that it radicalizes a lot of people who would otherwise move left and they move right instead when they see the nanny state ruin their lives with pseudoscience. You know, I have tried to be reasonable the whole way through. I really have. I have explained the vaccine. I have explained the research. I have tried to be reasonable, but this is my breaking point on reasonableness. And I think if you're a Republican, if you're a conservative, if you're a person with any level of common sense, you got to stand up on this nonsense. You just do. Because it's not backed by the science. It is total fear. You know, even the White House, pay attention to this, folks. The White House, the Biden administration, is concerned about the level of fear poured in the media over the virus and vaccine. That's right. The Biden administration is privately and now publicly grumbling that the American media cannot help themselves and are painting a false picture to the American public of the virus and its effects on the vaccinated to the extent it might discourage people from getting the vaccine who otherwise would. This is where we are, folks. This is where we are. Even the Biden administration is realizing the media has overplayed their hand on this stuff. It's just nightmare scenario. But, you know, I got to say, maybe the Biden administration should rein in the CDC. I'm not sure the CDC is helping itself. In fact, I'm pretty sure the CDC is not helping itself and is, in fact, undermining itself on these issues. The CDC rushing out to scare people based on the data that they're using it for lockdowns and shutdowns is bad. The fact that, you know, they would want to extend the renter eviction moratorium if they could, and the Supreme Court's told them they can't. Congress itself doesn't seem capable of doing it, which is a good thing. They shouldn't. They absolutely shouldn't. This whole thing is just infuriating. It really is. And it's not based on data. It's genuinely not based on data. In fact, of all people, let me play you a quick clip from Oliver Darcy on CNN.
Right. The premise is that you don't end up in the hospital. And we've seen that they work. I think news coverage almost needs to reflect that maybe cases, like you said, are not the best barometer for how we measure the pandemic anymore. It should maybe perhaps be on hospitalizations, because if we are telling people that hospitalization is why you do not, why you get the vaccine, then perhaps we should be, you know, measuring hospitalizations and putting more of an emphasis on the fact that low vaccinated or high vaccinated areas have low hospitalizations and low vaccinated areas have high hospitalizations versus just a case count, which doesn't really capture the picture quite as well in 2021.
Even CNN is there. Maybe the rest of the world should catch up here. The unknown came to the workplace in 2020 and things have changed. Everybody's looking to work out of their house, so they want a great chair. I found a great chair. The X chair. It's at the forefront of home and office settings during this transition. And X chair's newest innovation, the Elimax temperature regulation, will take your sitting comfort to a whole new level. There's a patent pending for the Elimax. It allows you to experience cooling, heating, massage in your lower back while you're working. You're feeling stressed out from the Zoom calls, the Microsoft Teams meetings? Turn on Elimax massage therapy. X chair's patented dynamic variable lumbar DVL support was already the best in class, and now you get Elimax. Imagine regulating your body temperature and getting massage therapy while you're working. It really is a fantastically comfortable, well-designed, well-put-together chair. Go to xchaireric.com right now. That's xchaireric.com or call 1-844-4XCHAIR to save $100 off your order. X-Chair has a 30-day guarantee of complete comfort, and you can finance your purchase for as little as $30 a month. Go to xchaireric.com now or use code XWheels for free X-Wheel blade casters. xchaireric.com. Oh, wait. Y'all are going to want to know about this one. My goodness gracious. And I just got this from a listener in Atlanta. Apparently, there is a ordinance being moved through the Atlanta City Council that would beef up police presence in the city. And the Democratic Socialists of America and Black Lives Matters and others are rallying to protest protest it. Apparently, there's a proposal to lease 381 acres to the Atlanta Police Foundation to build an $80 million facility for police, among other things. And yep, the Democratic Socialists of America are rallying to stop it. There we go, folks. Don't say it the left doesn't want to defund the police. You know, as a matter of fact, I was going to save this to the next hour, but I might as well throw it here because it is deeply relevant. So ProPublica is progressive. It is a nonprofit progressive institution that does research and reporting. And it has a big story out about the surge in homicides in Philadelphia and what it reveals about the American homicide surge. It is a very lengthy piece, but let me give you some of the takeaways. One of the things is getting rid of schools last year. A lot of the crime are younger people who otherwise would have been in school. A lot of the victims as well are kids who would have been in school or at home doing homework. Instead, they're roaming free because the schools are shut down. That's one of the problems. You know, I've told the story before. Let me tell you again. When I was a city councilman in Macon, Georgia, someone one time asked me, did you ever change your mind when given data? Because, you know, us conservatives, you're so dogmatic, you'll never change your mind even when the data shows otherwise. Actually, when the data shows otherwise, I think we should be willing to change our mind. And I changed my mind about an after-school program at the Booker T. Washington Center in Macon, Georgia, when I was on city council. It was an area where the Girls and Boys Club of the city would have after school programs. And so kids, when they were out of school, would go there and they would do homework. There were tutors, there were games, and they would stay until their parents came to pick them up or until the sun went down and they would go home in the neighborhood. And it needed funding. It got shut down. And the city council in Macon, where I was on city council, was asked to fund it. And I was hesitant to fund it. And one of the members of the city council, who really did not like me that much, got me to sit down with her and the chief of police. And the chief of police just showed me the statistics. When the center was open, crime in that area was down. And when it was closed, crime in the area was up. Now, you can say correlation and causation, but it was obvious that there was a direct link between that after-school center being open and crime being down in that area. Drug crimes were down, burglaries were down, violent crimes were down, shootings were down. Across the board, it was directly related to kids having a place, a safe place to go, to be tutored, to do their homework, to be engaged. When the place was shut down, kids were wandering the street, idle hands, getting up to no good, sometimes violently so. And we funded it, and guess what? Crime went back down in the area. Now, let's extrapolate that to the larger picture. Last year, a lot of school systems just shut down. And a lot of parents who were working, they weren't sure their kids were home. A lot of teachers were being idle and mindless in how they did it. And so a lot of bad things were happening. A lot of kids getting out, or they weren't having homework. They weren't doing homework. They were leaving when the Zoom class was over because they were at home. They could go out with their friends pretty immediately, and crime went up. That's one of the problems. But that's not the only problem. Another problem is, as people have begun to attack the police on a regular basis, the police have stopped policing. In some cases, they've quit their jobs. In some cases, they've quit their jobs. Why should they? Why should they continue to be a police officer when they're the bad guys now? The left villainizes the bad guys. In Atlanta, the Democratic Socialists of America want to block a proposed law that would allow the police foundation to build a facility for police. They want the police defunded. The mayor of Atlanta, the mayor of Austin, Texas, you know, the mayor of Austin, Texas wants to gut funding of the police. In fact, there's another story here. The battle for the cities. This is in Tablet. America's cities face an existential crisis that threatens their future status as centers of culture, politics, and the economy. Many urban advocates continue to delude themselves that U.S. cities are about to experience a massive post-pandemic return to normal. But the disruptive technological, demographic, and social changes of recent times are more likely to upend the old geographic hierarchy than to revive it. A representative New York Times article from July 12th denied that the pandemic has impacted dense urban areas in particular and blamed negative attitude towards cities instead on what it called alluring anti-urban attitudes. Perhaps urban advocates need to ditch their own attitudes and confront reality and the evidence. Many key problems facing our core cities, growing social instability, rising crime, out-migration, increasingly radicalized politics, high costs, and tight regulation predate the pandemic and are not likely to go away easily. Clever proselytizing by urban media likely won't be enough to convince Americans liberated by the efficacy of remote work to eventually return. To survive and thrive, American cities need to reinvent urbanity by returning to a more diverse economy concentrated not in the central districts, but in neighborhoods stretching across the city. Outside New York, political leadership in cities like Portland, Oregon, Minneapolis, Seattle, and San Francisco continue to work assiduously to restrain law enforcement even in the face of rising crime. This appears to be a growing pushback against the progressive urban agenda, whose journalistic promoters often minimize social disorder. Defunding the police has not turned out to be a progressive success. Pay attention to this part. The five cities that reduced their police budgets the most in 2020, Austin, Texas, New York, New York, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Seattle, Washington, and Denver, Colorado, have seen murder spike over the past year above the national average. Having partially gone down the path of defunding in 2020, New York, Baltimore, and Oakland, California have now taken steps to restore some public police funding. In ultra-liberal San Francisco, the vast majority of city residents want more police. Almost half are considering leaving the city, citing social disorder. Residents of the fashionable Capitol Hill area in Seattle, Washington, are erecting barriers to keep out the homeless. Now, this gets back to the ProPublica piece. One of the issues that caused a massive surge in crime last year were schools shut down. Another issue was defunding the police and the morale of police and police quitting and people going to war against the police and treating police as the bad guy. They gave up. They stopped policing. They left. They concentrated on other things as a police force. But there's another reason as well. Progressive district attorneys deciding not to prosecute people. It's a complicated picture. Schools being shut down, people losing jobs, people unable to find jobs, idle hands, getting people into trouble. But also, when your district attorney decides not to prosecute people in the name of social justice, a lot of people decide they too will commit crimes. And guess what? They have been. They have been. This is a problem, and people in cities are either going to continue to vote for this kind of stuff and get more of it, or they're going to finally wake up and realize that they got to change. If they keep voting for this sort of stuff, they're going to keep getting more of this sort of stuff. And at some point, I do kind of think that we have to stop protecting voters from themselves. Genuinely, I think we've got to stop protecting voters from themselves. We've got to stop protecting voters from their dumb ideas. In California, I'll talk about it a little bit more, but in California, they're about to have a bacon shortage because of some voter initiatives out there. And bacon producers are wondering what they can do to get their bacon to California. I say, stop protecting the people from themselves. More bacon for the rest of us. But when you've got district attorneys out there who are being elected, progressives electing district attorneys on social justice concerns, Boko Haram getting itself elected, raining terror down on America, terror is projected by the criminals deciding to commit crimes again in overwhelming numbers. And then the solution from Boko Haram is that it's white people. White people are the problem. If there were less white people, there would be less crime. Never mind that it's not the white people committing the crimes. It's their reaction to white supremacy causing them to lash out. Does it make any sense to a sane person? But we're not talking about sane people, are we? We are not talking about sane people. We're talking about Boko Haram, the woke terrorists who wreak havoc across American cities, who have led to this crime wave. And, you know, kudos to ProPublica, a liberal nonprofit media organization, for pointing out it is a multifaceted, complicated problem. But yes, in part of the problem is progressives waging war on police, have demoralized police, and also progressives have been electing district attorneys in progressive enclaves who decide that to prosecute a black person for a crime is to be a white supremacist. Therefore, let's not prosecute them. And the result is they think they can get away with even more crime. None of it makes any sense. Now, speaking of the wokes, if you weren't here in the first hour, I've got multiple requests. I have contained myself. I have controlled myself. I have waited to play this. I will now play this again. We worked on this. Ben's band, the Ben Orchestra. We'll come up with a clever name for the guy who put this together for us. And thanks to Charlie, my producer, for being able to get this done. I came up with this idea to highlight the absurdity of the wokes. And I am not a musical talent. I could come up with the idea, but I needed a musical talent to do it. And so what you have here is just genius, I think. Before I play it, though, you're going to have to stick around through me telling you about Eden Pure, and then you're going to want to hear it because it's genius. Eden Pure, friends. Eden Pure is the filterless air filter that will change the way you clean the air in your house. Eden Pure, you can hold it in the palm of your hand. You can. And you can get it by going to EdenPureDeals.com. In fact, I'm going to walk you through the process. You go to Eden, like the Garden of Eden, Pure EdenPureDeals.com. EdenPureDeals.com. You'll see my name, Eric Erickson, right up there in green. And you click it and you get great ones. You get a 3-pack. You can save $200 or you can save $10 off the lowest pack. Here's what you do. You use the code ERIC3. Click on the $200 for limited time. Save $200 on the 3-pack. You click on it, and then you see it's $387, and you add it to cart. And when you get it, then you go to your cart, and you click the orange checkout button. Don't do the Apple Pay, the PayPal, and stuff like that. You want to go through, because then you see the discount code. And miracle of miracles, you put in ERIC3, E-R-I-C-K, and the number 3. And they will take $200 off the overall price. So your $387 becomes $187. It's fantastic. It's a great deal. It cleans the air in your house. And if you do the 3-pack, you get one for the basement, one for the first floor, one for the second floor. It gets rid of tobacco odors. It gets rid of pet odors. It gets rid of food fry odors. You can put it in your RV. It cleans the air. EdenPureDeals.com. Click on my name. The checkout code is Eric and the number 3. No space. E-R-I-C-K 3. Now, I want to present to you a new hymnal for, well, Episcopal churches and others. It's a woke hymnal. It is a limited series. It is available now.
Introducing the hymns of a new generation, the Woke Jesus Hymn Book. It includes old favorites updated to modern sensibilities like Jesus Loves They.
Jesus loves they, this I know, for the drag queen tells they so. Little ones to Zer belong, they're oppressed and he's an ally.
And that old favorite, Jesus loves the little children.
Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black, not white, they are precious in their sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
And who could forget that longtime favorite, Kumbacha, my lord.
Kumbacha, my lord, Kumbacha, oh lord, Kumbacha.
Or the Civil Rights Anthem, now reflecting critical theory.
We shall not overcome, we shall not overcome, we shall not overcome any day.
And of course, that classic progressive Christian tune, Imagine by John Lennon.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Order now while supplies last.
You should. I'm logging a recipe this week. You will like, I forgot to send out the ham sandwich last week, so I got to send it out this week. So if you want to get on the recipe list, it's very easy. You text the word recipe to 33777. You get back a link, you click it, you put in your email address, and away we go. Now, the Biden administration, I mentioned this earlier. Actually, you know what? I'm gonna save this because bacon is more important. Bacon is always more important. And I just find the story delightful. Bacon may disappear in California. Listen to this. This is from the Associated Press. Thanks to a reworked menu and long hours, Janine Kim managed to keep her San Francisco restaurant alive during the COVID pandemic. That makes it all the more frustrating that she fears her breakfast-focused diner could be ruined within months by a new rule that could make one of her top menu items, bacon, hard to get in California. Our number one seller is bacon, eggs, and hash browns, said Kim, who for 15 years has run Sam's American Eatery on the city's busy Market Street. It could be devastating for us. At the beginning of next year, California will begin enforcing an animal welfare proposition approved overwhelmingly by voters in 2018 that requires more space for breeding pigs, egg-laying chickens, and veal calves. National veal and egg producers are optimistic they can meet the new standards, but only 4% of hog operators now comply with the new rules. Unless the courts intervene or the state temporarily allows non-compliant meat to be sold in the state, California will lose almost all of its pork supply, much of which comes from Iowa, and pork producers will face higher costs to regain a key market. Animal welfare organizations for years have been pushing for more humane treatment of farm animals, but the California rules could be a rare case of consumers clearly paying a price for their beliefs. With little time left to build new facilities, inseminate sows, and process their offspring by January, it's hard to see how the pork industry can adequately supply California, which consumes roughly 15% of all pork produced in the country. Good. Good riddance. Let the California voters who voted for this pay the price instead of protecting them from their voting. Time and time again, California voters think they can pass ballot initiatives to impose their way of life on the rest of us through economic means. Let them be deprived of bacon and pork products and see how they like it instead of protecting them from themselves. There is no reason for the rest of the country to have to bend over backwards to comply with the idiots who vote in California. They voted for this. Let them deal with the consequences of it, which are that they're not going to be able to get bacon anymore. And you know what? There'll be more for the rest of us. It'll bring down costs for us. Good. It'll bring down the cost of you and me buying bacon when we're eating California supply.